Chapter 4. In the fourth grade, a girl named Isha asked me home with her after school. I went, even though I knew Aunt Marnie would have a fit if she found out. It wasn't like any of the other kids were going to invite me over, not with the reputation my parents had. They'd just been through another humdinger of a breakup. This one got hot enough to include dishes flying and the police showing up. CPS had dumped Gina and me with my father's sister in Texas again, and Aunt Marnie had made it clear that this was the last time she was taking us. Having us around my father's old hometown was an embarrassment to her, and even at just 10 years old, I could see why. It's never good to be in a place where your daddy's bad deeds walk through every door before you can even get there. Gina wasn't helping matters. At 12, tall and blonde, she looked 16 and was already a whole lot like Mama and Daddy. Isha's mother was from Sierra Leone, black as the ace of spades, as my father would have not so nicely put it. Isha's daddy was a local boy who'd gone all the way to Africa to oversee production in bauxite and platinum mines. They lived on a corner lot in a big blue house with antique rose bushes outside and all the things I'd always wanted inside. There were sweet rolls, milk, and a smiling mama waiting in the kitchen when we walked in. When Isha's daddy came home, he swept his daughter up like they hadn't been together in a month. I just stood there watching from the upstairs hallway with my arms wrapped awkwardly over the princess clothes we'd made from safety pins and old bedsheets. "And who's this?" her father asked, smiling. He had kind eyes, soft and warm and friendly. Isha introduced me as Princess Tandanaho the Brave. When I snaked out my hand, trying to be at my best manners, he bowed low and pretended to kiss my fingers the way Robin Hood did with Maid Marian. His lips never touched my skin, but I jerked my hand back anyway. After a stint in emergency foster care, I'd learned...